am I going to frighten you?
Just don't spit on you. You know, speaking of the spit deal, it would be.
There's a guy that works with us. I've been working with him like there's a guy that I work with. He's been don't break it. All right. I've been working with this guy for about 32 years. When I found him, he was there's a few key words people like me use. One of them is found. What does that mean when I say I found him? What does it mean? That means I was out looking for it. Okay, y'all students or not? Or do y'all got it all organized? You don't need me. I can go home and take a nap and go to McDonald's. What's going on here? Yep, there's a McDonald's close. I remember passing it yesterday. That means I was out looking for the guy, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. In this particular case, it's been about 31 or 2 years. And this fella, when I found him, he was upside of the rest of the village ran. Everybody thinks I'm the devil. And I'm not. If I am, I'm a poor one. But he couldn't run because he was crippled. He had tuberculosis and some other sort of arthritis deal. And I got up on him before they could get him and run off with him. He didn't want me. He was telling me, I don't want to talk to you. You're the devil. You know, all of this. And you steal land. You eat people. All of this stuff. And I said, well, if I am and I do, then I'm going to eat you. The only thing I'm going to consume is the demon out of your life. I said, the crippledness and the sicknesses that have you the way you are. God in me is going to kill that, and you will be healed, and you will preach the gospel with me. He says, no, you're not going to touch me, and I am not going to do anything with you. I said, well, you don't have any choice, because they abandoned you, and it's me and you, buddy. I'm getting to the spit. I'm one of those guys that explains things thoroughly. Yeah, and so he's crippled, he's dying with tuberculosis and all of this stuff, and I just knelt right down there. I know y'all's world, everything has to be if and please, but in God's world, it's yes and amen. You think if somebody around you is not in agreement with you, then you're free to go drink a cup of coffee. But in my world, with the Holy Ghost, we dominate. It's called dominion of God. Now, I'm not talking about rude and unmannerly and those things. I'm talking about domination of spirits that do not want the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm supposed to be talking about, right? This kind of stuff. Is this okay? Or am I too far? I went into next year's class or something. All right, keep an eye on me. It would amaze you. Soon, I'm not one of those slow moving wake up people. When my eyes open, my motor's running. My wife, and I don't know the hand, she got a different dose than I did. It takes her about 30 minutes. But me, my eyes open. It's true. Yeah, it's, I don't know why. I'm old and everything, it just won't shut off. I don't know. I was told when I got past 50, you know, you'll see, you'll see. And I'm sitting there waiting, I'm watching the switch. Nobody will cut it off. Okay. So this guy was cursing me and hating me and I wish I could tell you that God was all over me and I knew what was going to happen and I knew the future of this situation because you're used to that kind of talk. But I didn't. I had been hiking out there already for 12 days. Is anybody in here hike? One. All right. What's it like to be in a wilderness for 12 days? Are you like you started? No. You lost that the second day. The third day, you hate it. The fourth day, you're getting over it. And the fifth day, you turn back on. So I'm out here about 12 days now, and I am just a machine now. And I am not putting up with any foolishness. I have lost weight, blood, sweat, and tears. And so I don't care what the devil says. This is going to happen. And besides that, I was on the way home. So we got to get this done so I can get back to the house. Because I was only like 7 or 8 hours. In those days, it was about a 7 or 8 hour hike. Now it's a 20-minute truck ride. And so I leaned over on this guy, knelt down, and laid my hands on him in Jesus' name. And the whole time he's trembling and spitting on me and cursing me and everything. You notice the spit word? Laid my hands on him anyway. And I told him, I said, now, since I found you, there's the found word again. I will be back on this day. He said, no, you're not coming back. No, we're not going to do that. Blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, yes, we are. And yes, I will be back because God let me find you. Now I possess you. These diseases that are in you, I can dominate them because of God in me. And you need my help. You don't believe it. The witchcraft on you says these demons are talking to you, but they're all wrong. I'm right. And nothing, nothing, nothing. And so I got up and left, and I went back a few weeks later. And I get there, and of course he's not there, and so I wait and wait and wait, and the whole village is gone again. Finally, a guy walks out of his house, the crippled guy's house. He says, we don't know who you are or nothing like that. But you put that in your Bible so you can show you, girl. A little slab of gold. I'm having him collect all that because his girl, he just got engaged. That's a good thing. Yeah.
Yahoo! Lulu!
So I go in this room, and there's a table, and it's covered with their kind of food, which is unusual for us. I include myself because I never have acclimated to like their food. I still, after 30-something years, prefer McDonald's. Well, a couple of things at McDonald's, like the fish sandwich or the... What's those chicken things? No. The Select. I like those things. So I go in there and they said, sit down and eat. And, everything's a test in life. I'm old enough now to know. Everything is a test. There isn't anything that's not. It don't matter how nice and how pleasant the surroundings, everything's a test. So I sit down and You know, and I know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 10. It doesn't matter if I like or enjoy or am comfortable or anything else. Luke chapter 10 says, as you go around and preach the gospel, this is for class people that's in here. The Bible says, when you go around, you eat what's set before you. Your preferences get stuck back wherever you came from till you get back there when you go and you represent the kingdom of God. Hello? All right, as long as you know that, because some of you are going to end up in the mission field. If you bring America instead of God, you're going to lose. Did you know that in the first year, 90% of missionaries wash out, and pastors? And in 5 years from that year, another 90% of those that were successful wash out. And the reason is you don't get over yourself. You want to apply yourself in what you're doing instead of God in what you're doing. And if you don't get over yourself and allow God to be in charge and put yourself aside, you will fail. Wow. And I'm not a failure talk person. I am a success talk person. But I am up to here with losing good, awesome people to just stupid demons. We can do this. But we can't do it in our current condition. We've got to let the flesh go and enjoy the Holy Ghost a minute. And then things will work out really nice. For instance, when I sit down there, they make, see, in my Bible, from Genesis straight forward, it's against the rules to eat blood. And they make a thing down there out of blood in our work. It's a food. And I know it's in there, and so it was sitting on the table. So you have to make choices, don't you? It's against the rules to eat blood. It's against the rules to offend the sheep. So which one has priority? Hello? What's more valuable? Yeah, you're right. Now you remember that, and your stretch of success will go farther. The minute you start turning over, because God the whole way has forbid eating the life of the thing, the blood. I mean, that's old covenant and new covenant. But you're sitting there, and I know blood's in that thing, and I sit right down and eat it. And I do disagree with eating blood. If I can get around it, I will. If I can do it without offending somebody, I will do it. I'll tell them, no, look at this verse right here in the Bible. So, anyway, I sit down and I ate some of all that food, a lot of food on the table. And then after I got through, I mean, it's hot. You cannot believe how spicy this food is. It'll blow the top of your head into next week. There are no sinus problems where I live. You cry, your tear ducts work, your sinus is, I mean, it's amazing. This has all got to do with spit. Everybody, it's her fault. You can take it, I hope. So can I. So we'll be fine. We're two, that's enough. End of the story. End of story. So anyway, I'm sitting, and finally I got through eating as much as I could. I was about, and I asked the guy that was standing there, boy, he was hating on me, boy. And I got through eating, and I finally told him, I said, all right, I've done this now. Why did you feed me like this? Because to them, in their world, they have nothing. They're in the top five poorest people in the world. And so when they offer you food, it's the best they've got. And to refuse it or to belittle it, you lose them all. You hear me? All right. And so you can't do that. Regardless of your opinion. Like I told you, if you don't leave self and opinions home, you're not going to do this gospel. You are not going to be successful in this gospel. You hear me? And so he said, well, I want to show you something. And I said, all right. And he goes in there, and when he comes out, the man that I saw dying with tuberculosis and arthritis and all these diseases come walking in there completely healed. Completely healed. And what they were worried about, because where I live, how aggressive can I be with this religious deal? You sure? So am I. oh my goodness. Whoa, there's a good one. Let me see if I can get it. Well, yeah, it's pretty big, Luke. Here. No, this is noisy. Don't you? I'll give you the next one. Don't you know you're supposed to impress women? And I'm trying to teach you that. So to do that, I need gold and diamonds and rubies and silk. Isn't that something? Let me see, where was I? We're talking about spit. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the healed guy. That's right. So he walks out, and what their worry is, how they going to pay me? Because where I live, the religious leaders, it's hard not to say it, they charge for healings. Mm-hmm. Headaches are about 50 pesos. That's about $5. Backaches are about 150 pesos. That's about $15. But tuberculosis and arthritis and that goes on up pretty stiff. And these people have no money. And so they were worried how they was going to pay me. Plus the witch doctors, everybody charges. They didn't have any more chickens or hogs or anything, because they had paid. Because they have no money, they have to give away their livestock and everything. So they keep them dominated. They're slaves because they steal everything from them, right? And so I told him, I said, is the reason for all the food is you was thinking you had to pay me? And the guy says, yeah. I said, no. This gospel I've got is free. I explained to them, I'm robbing the United States to come here to give y'all the free gospel. And they didn't understand that, but I understand. And so, there's people that work really hard and diligently and support our work, and they'll never know what we're doing, and so forth. And so these people don't understand that either. And so he says to me, well, he said, I was laying here 2 days, it was 48 hours after you left, and this fire, it was some kind of a heat. It started at my head and it came right down my body, and when it hit my toes, I was completely healed. Every disease left. I said, that's called the Holy Ghost. Ese se llama el Espíritu Santo. That's the Holy Ghost. Another word for it is el fuego de Dios, the fire of God. Another word is la sanidad del Espíritu Santo, healing of the Holy Ghost. I said, so it don't matter what you call it, it just matters that you get it. And from that moment on, and this was an older gentleman, he was a lot older than me, he and I locked up. He got born again right there. His family got born again, and we started a church. This is how you chart churches where I live. You don't have to have some fancy little plan. All you got to have is the Holy Ghost power, and it works. Bang! So it makes you aggressive like me, too. But this fellow, ever since then, is a spitter. This is a spit deal, finally. But you didn't even know who he is. And who he is a man that cannot read or write. But he has raised 22 people from the dead. Almost one a year since he was saved. But he spits on people. It's the weirdest thing. I just look at him. But I can't fuss at him too much because Jesus did it. Jesus. See? See, this is what I do for a living. I convince people something they think they don't want, I convince them to have it. I won't. So you see, this guy, I'm telling you, he spits. I'm telling you, it's the weirdest thing. He spits. People get healed. There ain't nothing. I don't guess there's any disease, is there? That he spit on people that they haven't been healed. Every known disease in our area where he works has been healed, and he just spits on these people, rubs it in them, and bang, bang, they get healed. That's a little bit far for me. But yeah. You better have the Holy Ghost. You see how long it took me to answer her? She didn't know she was asking a question. But I did. All right, now then we're going to punch in. And what time did she tell me? Where is she? 10:30. It's only an hour. Yeah, I know. I'm just messing with her on purpose. So turn over to Isaiah 11. Oh, no, 12. 12. Isaiah 12. Are y'all there? I need y'all. You found one? I was going to come back and get that, wasn't I? I know, but you're supposed to see it and jump down on it. Okay, I guess we're going to have two sessions. So in the second session, I'll take a couple of questions. But I want to warn you, the hostility and the aggression that some people address me with, I'm very well about giving it back. I'm real good at my job. So be cautious with those religious spirits, because what you don't know is in our work, this year I've had two of my main pastors murdered. And they're guys that I got them when they were teenagers, and I worked with them nearly 30 years each, and these demons killed them. And it's got me pretty much stacked up. I just don't like that. Those are good. They were good guys. And they love Jesus. Some of the most loving people. Wow, they love people way more than I do. And they was murdered. And so it's got me tacked up. And I don't want to make you fearful or nothing, but I do want you to understand that I take things serious. Because I'm losing my friends. They're being slaughtered. But that's what we are. Your world don't get it. But we are sheep to the slaughter. That's who we are. We are cannon fodder in a war that neither one of us started. And you don't talk about martyrs much in your world. But in our world, it's very... I have lost so many good friends. It's about 28, 29 of my best friends now. And when you do that, and you raise these people up, and the reason they die is listening to you and preaching what you preach, it changes who you are. All right? So, with that seriousness, let's go somewhere else. It says, and in that day... It's talking about the day they slaughter your friends. It's talking about the day that you get healed. Your the peak of your happiness and the peak of your sadness, they're all the same. Understand me. Last night I made a statement about having a truckload of knives. You may not have known it. I think it might have been in the prayer line. Or it might have been when I was talking. I don't remember. But there was a young lady that was offended, and I explained to her, you know, that there's been like 134... what is Thrasonat? Traitors. People, good people that make bad decisions become traitors. You understand? And in my life, there's been like 134 of those. I'm talking about ministers that have ripped me off, buddy. Wow, it's a hurtful, destroying, murdering spirit that wants you to stop. But you cannot. You must embrace that as an opportunity for success. Hello?
Yes.
And the moment it happens to you, it's all right to cry 2 or 3 days. That's okay. Because love is really real. And relationships are really good. And when people are using you for the wrong purposes, this is a class, right, for ministers, right? Is it all right to teach them then?
Sure.
Or are we doing something else? I don't want to get off course too much. Just a little. But when these people hurt you, every day is the same. Like, I got a phone call from a guy a number of years ago, and he says to me, boy, I'm blessed, Brother David. I have a $1 million check here for you. And I said, excuse me, who's it for? It's for you. Do you understand how that can make your day go better? If somebody gives you $1 million, I said, do you understand? Because I had always wondered about people who get large amounts of money, why they keep it and stick it in all these places to make more money instead of giving it to the poor. Because you sit there and you pray and you fast your whole life for people to give you finances, and you promise God the minute you get it, you're going to give it away. But most, I would say 100% of the people that get it don't. So my wife and I made it. In that, the day of losing my friends, getting killed, that's a sad day. The day of getting $1 million is a happy day. And I have found out in life that they're both the same. And if you don't treat them that way, you're going to have trouble. All right? This is the day that the Lord has made. And it's not only when you get $1 million. Because, see, I told my wife, I said, if I ever get $1 million, I'm going to give it away in one day. Well, I wasn't successful. It took three. I didn't know how moving around that much money was costly. I never had messed with it, so I didn't know. Y'all understand mess with? Okay. And so the bank is not interested in you giving away money. You wouldn't believe the people that found out about it. They called me with all these great investment things. You can increase that money 12%. 12.5%, you know, we can get aggressive and then that 6 months and then drop it into it. And they go into all these details of how to, the proper use of, you know, and the proper stewardship for God's money. And I'm sitting there and I'm telling Ms. Hogan, but God gave me this because I asked for it so I could feed the poor, not so I could become wealthy. And so, I found out this is really a major debate in the church. I didn't know about it because I didn't have anything. And so, but once you get it, everybody and their brother comes out of the woodwork to tell you what to do with it. They don't know you until they find out that you've got something. And so what I did is I got rid of it. It took me 3 days. And we decided not to take any of it. And so that really made everybody mad. It gets complicated. But Ms. Hogan and I decided that we was fine without it. And so we gave it all away. Whether that's right or wrong, God will decide directly, won't He? Didn't change my life one bit, having it or not having it. It's the same. Wow. How about that? That got you quiet. That got you more quiet than the spitting guy. But now you know a guy that did it. You can't say you don't know somebody that didn't do it. Now you know. How about that? There are people, let me explain that a little bit, because look, it says, in that day you will say, I will give thanks to the Lord, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. See, God is not mad at me. Do you know that a person that owns the cows on 1,000 hills, a million is nothing, not even a drop in his bucket? So whether it was a test or not, doesn't matter. Whether I passed or not, doesn't matter. What matters is faith in going forward in the name of Jesus. In understanding that joy and sadness are the same. Wow, y'all are quiet. Maybe I can get over here and get this before it gets away from us. Oh, it's a little bitty one. But I did get it. It's a little bitty stick of gold. It ain't very big, but I'm not going to spit on it. It's little, but it's worth keeping. And in that day, you will give thanks to the Lord, and you will understand that though He was angry, when you figure out that God is not angry with you, that God is pleased with you. Last night, we're His jewels. We are precious in His sight. And our blood is precious in His sight. And who we are and what we do is precious to God. We need to realize the power that's in us. And that you cannot be carried away with success or failure. You must stay steady and move forward because of the Holy Ghost. Because God is not angry with you. God is not angry with you. God loves you. And He knows you. He knows your weakest moment. He knows your weakest moment every day. And He's still sitting there. Don't do that. Come on with me. I got a better way. Come on. Come on. And He's sitting there. His mercy, it's fresh. Every day, every minute of every hour, the mercy of God is extended to His people. He calls it wooing. He wants you as His bride. He wants you. Oh, He loves you. And when we, like, I was in Europe, I believe it was Germany, and this boy right here calls me and tells me that ex-pastor was murdered. I just flopped down on the ground. You know, there's no describing to you how that feels. I love that kid. Well, he's a man, he's 50 years old now, but... Because I've been there so long. I got him when he was a teenager, and then he's 50 years old. You've been there a while. And boy, this guy's over a whole bunch of our churches, and man, he's a good leader. Man, wow. And my thoughts are, how am I going to replace him? Who is it? How can you replace such a pillar? And I got to finish my job. I can't come home because this is another thing that y'all disagree with. But life or death, they're all the same. If you read Romans 8, but most of you don't. And angels or demons, life or death, everything's the same. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus' mercy to me. And so wow. I told him, I said, all right, I need you guys to go out there. So he set up, I don't remember who it was, the team went out there. The people that killed him were very energetic about telling everybody how they was going to kill us too. So I thought it was the redeeming factor to go and just see if they can kill everybody. So your world says, oh, brother, you need wisdom. Well, oh, brother, that is wisdom. They got us. I wonder if they can get us all. That doesn't come into your mind to wonder? It does mine. God's not angry with me. My Bible says He hates evil. He ensues it. And it says in my Bible, every day, all day long. So if these angry, evil spirits have hit us, we need to go out there so God can have a platform to take them down. Wow, I don't think like you. This is why I get the dead raised. So, well, these boys went out there and prayed for him to be raised from the dead, and he didn't get up. And so, we buried him. And it's sad to us. You have a few days of emotions. And so I called back and I say, you know, I was hoping that he got up from the dead, but he didn't. And they buried him. And so now I say, all right, I'm going to be back from Europe or India on this day. And I'll be back in Mexico on this day. And the next morning, we're going out there. And the response is, but they specifically said they're going to kill you if you come. And I specifically said, well, you tell them I'll be there this day at this time. Well, how do you know? How do I know? The same way that you don't. How do you not know? How is it that you know so much that I will be killed? Well, we have proof that they murdered one guy already. That's not proof that they'll murder me. What if it's the will of God to get things stirred up so He can cause a revival? Okay. I know all these things are controversial, but I need you to think. I need you to think past your window of opportunity or experience. Or anybody around you's experience and opportunity. You understand what I'm doing? I'm provoking thought here. And I've got to. If you're going to go forward in the kingdom of God, if you're going to stand up and walk in righteousness and inheritance of the power of the name of Jesus, you've got to go past the knowledge you're currently living in. And I'm not saying what you're living in is not good. I'm just saying there's so much more. And we've got to have it, don't we? Don't we? And so the day came, and boy, I was nervous. I can't tell you the fear that gripped me. It's serious. I'm hostile inside. I've got fear inside. Dread, uncertainty. I walk up to Ms. Hogan and my hands are sweating. You know, and everything. And she says to me, she patted me right. This is my wife that loves me dearly. She patted me on the hand. She said, I'll see you after a while for supper. What do you want? And I'm looking at her. You know, I can't say nothing back. That means I'll be in doubt. So I said, how about my favorite meal? Because I'm scared spitless right now and I'm burning a lot of calories. So I need a big calorie meal. And she looks me right in the face. She says, fear is okay, David. Just don't let it dominate you. Let faith dominate you. She says, do you realize you're a human? I said, no. She says, I know, but the rest of us do know that. And you'll be fine. I'll see you after a while. And I went out there, me and these boys, and boy, we get there, and oh, it's rough. Because it was my first day to confront the family, you know, and boy, oh boy, I love these people. And they're crying, and we all got on the floor, and we wept, and then I told them, all right, get up. And everybody stood up. I said, now we go forward. We've cried it out. I'm sorry God didn't raise him from the dead, but now we preach the gospel. That is the answer. Do you hear me? If you was wondering what the answer is. I had a pocket full of money. I gave it to the family. And now you got another widow to take care of and so forth and kids, and that's how it is. That's what you do. You know the whole thing of taking care of widows and orphans, they got to come from somewhere. Now see, that's what you don't think of. Everybody goes in James, what is it, chapter 1, I think it is it? Pure and undefiled religion before God is to do what? Take care of widows and orphans, but you don't ever think about where they come from to take care of them. Some of them are martyrs' families. Wow. And that's not in your world, but it is now. And so, you know, and all of his pastors was there with their wives, because the people, the murderers, said that they knew we'd come, and when we got in the pile, they was going to kill us. And so we waited, I don't know what, 8 or 9, about 8 hours, 7 hours or something, that we was there, and they wouldn't come kill us. So we got on our face and prayed and sought the Lord and went home. And then a couple of months later, the Holy Ghost fell. And now, I guess, because of his death, there's been about 700 or 800 new converts now. The pastors have lit on fire. And all the churches are full. The seed was planted, and now we have increase. As horrible as that day was, now we're having a wonderful... You ought to see at every service, the Holy Ghost falls in, takes over, knocks everybody down 8, 9, 10 hours, and then you go home drunk. It's really amazing, isn't it? And even though things have not gone our way, and we were disappointed, now it's turned into joy. Because doesn't the Bible say that joy comes in the morning? It does. All right. I don't want you to seem sad about it, because it was a sad day for us, but it's a happy day now. And in that day you will say, verse 1, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. See, the Lord Holy Ghost is so wonderful and worthy. He is amazing. And it seems like everything is turned away from you and turned on you and so forth. But that's just not true. That's just present circumstances. And if you can stay in the Holy Ghost and the joy of the Lord, it's going to change everything around you. And you will be satisfied with the mercy and contentment of the power of God. Do you hear? I'm wondering if you listen. Okay. All right. All right. Let's do verse 2 then. Behold God. See, this is what I'm trying to get you to do, is behold Him. There's one. And I'll spend too much time on that. You got to behold God. He is our salvation. Does anybody, this is a class, so tell me what salvation means. Say it again. Saved, healed, delivered, and set free. There's a green one. Wow, that's pretty. Saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Saved from what? Whoa, look at that one. From hell. You understand? Saved from hell. What is hell? Eternal punishment. It is a real place. It is horrible. It is demon greed and suffering and punishment. Saved. Healed. What does that mean? Made whole. Say it again.
Nothing broken.
That's a good answer. Healed. What does that mean to somebody else on this side? I heard y'all saying something. Who said made whole over here? Man, them green ones are showing up pretty good here. Who said it made whole? What does that mean to you? What does made whole mean to you, you ladies? All right. Do you remember when the lady came up to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment? She was afraid. She was a poor person. Doctors had robbed all of her money. It says it right in my Bible. And how long was she? 12 years was she with that thing? That flood, that bleeding problem? And the Bible says nothing made it. She just lost all of her money, and that means they took her chickens because she didn't have any money to begin with. Just like our people. Same exact thing. And then what'd she do? She snuck up there and she touched the hem of his garment. And what happened? That's right. Now, I studied that. Who said that over here? That's right. It says, made every whit whole. Now, I studied that. See, what you got to understand about salvation is, it means that you have escaped from hell. I mean, you are, wow. That's wonderful. Man, listen. Everybody says, what's wrong with you, man? Calm down. Listen, if you realize what I know about hell and I don't have to go there, it would make you like me. I know people that have died in our work and gone and burned in hell, and God raised them from the dead, and they've explained it to me. We do not want to go there. Look at me. Look at that. See that? That's electric. I'm electric. See that? There's electricity running all over me right here. I'm telling you the truth. You don't want to go there. Whoa. 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 All right? But to be made whole, what does that mean? I do know. Because it bothered me why Jesus would use the word whole there. And the reason is, to be made whole means that everything that was taken from you has been restored back to you.
Come on, man. Come on.
Now, that's what that word right there means. Now, that's a different game than just being healed. Now, just being healed, suffering 12 years, that's plenty. And being a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of the great Holy Ghost covenant, you can, over time, recover stuff. It just automatically comes to you. See, all the fretting people do about blessings is unwarranted. I'm telling you, you worship God with a pure heart, a whole heart, and you believe in salvation the way we're breaking it up here, it will change your life forever. One of the promises of you and me, us, one of our promises, is the salvation well deal. And inside of that deal is healing. Inside of that is wholeness. Inside of that is total restoration. There's some of you sitting right here have been thoroughly ripped off. Well, if you will drop the anger and anxiety and stress and payback and what is it when you... See, I used to be one of these people that wait a long time to get pay you back. Vengeful, what'd you say?
Revenge,
that's the word. Man, I was good at that. I could sit there and wait and smile because I'm a hunter. And so that's what you do. And you know, I'm serious. But drop the revenge. You don't owe anybody anything, man. You have been so redeemed and so blessed and so set free. Dude, what little bit you could get out of revenge is no comparison. It don't even come up on the scale compared to what wholeness will do for you in restoration. And I do know what I'm asking you to do. Do you know what it's like to have your enemy face to face that killed one of your friends? A while back, I'm sitting at a manantial, spring of water, and I'm up in the mountains. I'm hit because it's a hostile environment, and so I'm at this spring of water getting a drink, and the man that's been persecuting our work for a number of years, 10 or 11 years, he's very wealthy, decided to get a drink of that well where I was sitting. God had me there. You understand what he had to work out to have me sitting there and then have that enemy come there? Do you understand? It was just he and I, none of his... Yeah, what do you call the guys that walk around with the guns that help people? Bodyguards. None of his bodyguards were with him, and for him to be alone was astounding. A very wealthy individual. Lots of people was mad at him. Not just me. Because he was mean. Boy, this guy was mean. He was mean as a snake. Boy, he was mean as old Cottonmouth. Y'all know Cottonmouth? Yeah. Them things, you know, they're non-provoked. You just get close to them and they're going to come and they carry about 7 deadly diseases in their mouth. They just mean. This old guy was mean as a cottonmouth. And I'm sitting there and I'm drinking. I hear this vehicle. It goes down just a little ways, probably 30 yards down to the road. And I'm up in those woods. It's a jungle. You can't see me. You got that? I'm an Indian. And when I cloak, I'm like the Klingons. I'm just not there all of a sudden. And I'm sitting there in my bird of prey and I'm cloaked. And that's a Star Trek deal for any of y'all. So I know y'all are too holy, I got that. But some of us are normal humans. So so I'm sitting there cloaked, and this guy gets out of his truck, walks up there, and I'm sitting right there. Look, I'm telling you, I'm just looking at him. And he walks. He never saw me until I discovered myself to him. And I am one of those that do that. I wanted a piece of this guy so bad, I'm telling you, I had him in my hands. But just because God delivers your enemy into your hands does not mean you have to kill them. It does mean that they need to hear the gospel. So when I uncloaked, he was frightened. And he's got a .45 right there. And he always carries it. And so when I uncloaked on him, his words were, "Your God delivered me into your hands." I said, "You're right. And now let me tell you what you've been doing." And I explained his misery to us, to him. I said, "Now, if I was like you, you'd be a dead man and that .45 would be mine." I said, "But since I'm not like you, let me tell you about Jesus." And I explained Jesus to him for about 10 minutes or so. Then I said, "Now, I don't know if God's going to ever give you another opportunity to repent, but you need to now." He said, "I'm not going to right now." I said, "That's fine." And I just backed up from him and cloaked again and went in the woods and left. See, you got to understand, when the Holy Ghost gives you, delivers you, you got to understand, because he wouldn't get born again. You know what happened to that fellow? Are you interested? God gave him a chance to repent. Didn't he?
Yes.
Now, I could have dealt him some misery right there. Nobody would have known but heaven. Oh, wait, there's one more. And hell. So I cannot allow hell the privilege to know that I messed up that bad. Now, can I? When you're representing the Holy Ghost, it's all the time. When you have the advantage, when you have the disadvantage, when you're healed or when you're sick, it's all the same. I'm warning you. In the spirit realm, it's all the same. This guy would not listen. He believed that his power, his money, his friends could deliver him at any time. Well, he ended up snapping because of the stress and eating grass like a cow, like that king did. What's his name that grew the fingernails? Nebuchadnezzar. I'm glad to be around people that know stuff. He's eating grass out there, and just like he's out there with his cows eating grass, and some of his men came out there and just killed him. He's in hell right now, but it's not because God didn't give him the opportunity. Now, that's the negative story. Can I give you a positive story?
Yes.
You didn't stand up yet, so I'm just messing with you. I'm playing. Don't be offended. I'm going to do the rules. You cannot believe how I do the rules. Listen to me. A good soldier follows orders. It don't matter what your rank is. It matters that you follow orders. That's what's important. Is obedience. Leastways, that's what the Bible says. Obedience is better than
sacrifice.
And rebellion is as I rest my case. That, leastways, if we believe the Bible anyway. Isn't that right? Come on with this. You understand? I believe we can do this. But there are rules that apply to us that can make us really better than we really are. Watch. This is funny. Is it okay if it's funny? I'm going to lighten it up just a little. Not too much. The gospel is serious. And it's great to have fun. I do. I'm never not having fun. Like, I was almost late getting here because I was on the iPad 2 thing doing FaceTime with Miss Hogan, and we was just laughing and having a blast. I'm serious. I finally told her, I got right up there, eyeball to eyeball. I've got to go. I've got to preach the gospel, woman. Let me go. Okay. And you'll do such a good job, she said. Oh, yeah, she's right, you know. You tell I have fun with her?
Yeah.
Oh, she's such a wonderful toy. I love her so much. Oh, yeah. Hey, 40 years is enough. We can play now. I'm serious. All that stuff of them you young people think y'all got everything so figured out. I do now. Have fun with Ms. Hogan. She's such a blessing. Oh, wait, I got to get back to what I'm doing. I'll get to talk about her, I'll be the rest of my life. So let me think about it. I got to talk about Jesus, don't I? Whoop. Come on, Holy Ghost. I just don't know how it worked out for us to make it. We was at the bottom of the class. Nobody gave us a chance except the Holy Ghost. And we took him up. Oh, I got to tell you this story. I better get back to my business. Healing. I'm talking about part of salvation is healing. There's another part of salvation than healing. It's called health.
That is not talked about very much. But hold on to that. Remind me of that in a minute. You got it? Hold on to it. Grab it. You got it? All right, somebody throw it at me in a minute. I want to talk about that in just a minute. Well, but right now, there's something else. I've got to finish. Talking about this restoration deal. Because do you see that God gave that wealthy man opportunity? Even though he was a mean guy, he gave him the same chance he gave Paul or Saul when he knocked him off that horse. Remember that? He gave this guy, the first guy, the same chance. And now the second guy, here again, I'm always hiking. I was out like 5 days or 6 days or something. And that's how long it takes before the fluff falls off of you. You got to get out there and get past the fluff, and then you can actually do something. And so, you know, I'm out there. I'm at this village, and, you know, we're hiking and carrying on, and that's what we do all the time. And so I get to this village, and I'm happy because I got back to where my truck was. Been gone several days. You know, because in my truck, I have my daughter makes me these, my third child, she makes me these cookies. She loves me. Yep, I love her back. But she takes these Ritz crackers, and she gets the Jif peanut butter, and then she gets this stuff she calls some kind of bark or something, and she melts it as chocolate. And she sticks them Ritz peanut butter crackers down in that. And, son, you can't believe how good that is. See my mouth water? Anyway, they was in my truck. And so I was really happy to get back to my truck. Just to get one of those things my daughter makes. Life is still around. You know, and I'm there, and we went to the river, and there's a thing called mugre in Spanish. Mugre. What is that in English? Mugre is help me. You speak English? You know that stuff that gets on the horse when you work them and it gets that foam stuff? Lather! Yes, who said it? Come on with that. Do you have horses?
No.
You should. You know what lather is.
Yes, I should.
Anyway, you get that stuff on you too when you work hard enough. Yeah. And that salt just, boy, your clothes just, oh, they turn white with it. And, you know, especially after 3 or 4 days. And you're hiking and all that. And so I was down at the river and I washed these things, you know, clothes. And, oh, it's a good day. And I ate some of my daughter's cookies. And you just lay it out there on them rivers are just full. The water's clear. And, oh, you can just stick your head in it and drink it. And, oh, them high mountains are nice. Hard and dangerous, but nice. Great advantages. You know, and we got all cleaned up and our clothes dried and all that. So the brothers come get us. You know, you understand, brothers, that's what we call the people that's born again that we work with. Maybe it's religious sounding to you, but it's what we call them, hermanos. They came and got us, and we're going to eat. And now these people in these villages, I told you about this food deal. It is of great value to them. And so they bounce us around through different homes because everybody that gives us something to eat, their crops prosper and their animals prosper. You cannot believe. I don't have enough time to describe to you the blessings of God because somebody blesses the anointing in somebody else. See, instead of worrying about all this politics and what they said, he said, she said, and all that, and what I'm going to do about it, you're losing out on the benefits of the salvation of God by walking in man-made religion. We got to get out of that.
I'm serious. So I went to this family. They were a small family, you know. They don't have a whole lot of money, and it's always the same story. There ain't no money, but the food's awesome. But we dropped the blood finally in this village. Newer villages hadn't yet. So, man, it was a good meal. I was so hungry because you get out there, you know, for a week or two, and you get hungry. They just don't have food, so it's not like you don't get three squares a day. You get, if you're fortunate, you get one. Man, we ate. I was so happy to be full. It felt so good. And so we're walking back, and I asked the brothers, I said, is there anybody out here got any wood? Because Miss Hogan wants a chopping block. Because at our place, I've got a herd of cows, and so we're constantly cutting this meat, and that's something she wanted. So he says, yeah. We know a place. So he carried me to this woodcutter man. All I wanted, you know, they cut down these trees. And your world don't have all this. You just run to Walmart and get one of them man-made deals. But in our world, they just take saws. Everything's done by hand still. And they got these slabs of wood. You get these trees, and they're just beautiful. And you just take them, mess with them a little bit, and and they're really nice chopping blocks. So they brought me to this place, and boy, I bought them from them really cheap, like a buck or two, big old chunks of nice wood. And so somebody run it over. So I'm walking back with the pastors, and it's cool the evening. Remember when God walked with Adam, that kind of a thing, and it's really nice. Everybody's full. We've had a great time in the Holy Ghost, and then one of the village people that I didn't know him, comes running up with its emergency, and they're going off in their dialect. And I know their dialect pretty good, but they got past me with some words. I didn't understand them. That's another thing about your surroundings. Learn the language of the people where you are. You need to do that. Whoever God's got you ministering with, learn how they think, how they talk, how they act, and become as close to them as possible, even though you're not one of them. Hello? I don't dress like Indians. I'm not an Indian. But I do eat, sleep with them, talk their language. You know, lots of things I've changed to become like, to gain them. All right. These things are invaluable. And so this person comes up, and I ran over there, and they're nervous about approaching me because we're on an agenda. Do you understand that agendas are dangerous things? I hate timetables. I'm playing. You're playing back, aren't you? Okay. Since I don't know you, I'm good with that. All right, so. It's okay if I'm a free man. Yeah. So, they said to me, we got to go pray for this guy over here. So I go, I said, all right, that's fine. Who cares? I'm going to spend the night here anyway, so what if we don't start on time? What if it is 30 minutes late? Who cares? Tell me about it. Do you know anybody that cares besides me? I'm the only one out there with a watch. Come on, think about it. They look up at the sun or the stars and tell what time it is, and they're really close. They're within an hour, those guys. They're good. It doesn't matter if it's night or day. And so anyway, we go around the corner. Boy, when I went around the corner, the problem is you don't have a clock in here. I haven't seen it. There is a reason. But. So, I go around the corner, and you should have seen the blood. Y'all, I'm not kidding you. It was gross. There was blood The floor was covered. The table, the chair, and their houses are small, but it still was a lot of blood. And there was a couple of small 1 liter bowls, and they had blood in them. They weren't completely full, but they was catching his blood. And finally, I saw the source. It was a man sitting there. You should have seen the blood coming out of his mouth, his nose, his ears, his eyes. He had a burst aneurysm. And those things leak out wherever there's an opening. And there's no recovery from those things medically. And especially since we're 4 hours from a hospital in my four-wheel drive. That's me driving. If they got to do it, it's a day getting them out and a day getting them down. So that's 2 days. They ain't going to make it. So I'm sitting there, and I don't know these people, and the brothers are really, really nervous. It's very uncomfortable. But see, salvation... All right, I'm saved. That means I'm delivered from hell. That means I'm delivered from evil. That means I'm healed. I'm whole. But these people are not. So what? How do you join the not with the I am? How do you do that? That's right. So how do you do that? Yeah. So how are we going to do that? When the guy's sitting there, he's freaked out. Because he's almost dead. The loss of blood is so great. And the family, I'm telling you, they are flipped. There's no way to reach these people. Huh? Wow. And I'm sitting out there, because even though... All right, let me think about how to say this to you, because you don't understand our world, but... Protocol can never be breached. When you're dealing with Indian tribes, I'm going to try to be nice to you, but your method of dealing with Indian tribes is genocide. That's how you got this property you're standing on. And I thoroughly disagree with genocide. Excuse me, what'd you say? That's what I thought you was going to say. You better not go there with me, because I am pro-Indian, buddy. Since that's who I work with 100%. 28 different tribes. All right. Your method is wrong. Let's just go ahead and suffice it, and I'll move on. All right. Now, let's try a different approach. Namely, the gospel. Most modern Christians leave home with a colonist idea in them on how to approach the world, whether it's the neighbor down the street or somebody in Africa or South America. You need to lose that colonist deal and go with the kingdom of God deal. We are not to recolonize this planet. It's done, been done, and failed. We are to populate heaven with gospel, mercy, love, anointing, and health and healing. All right? So I'm sitting there, but you got to go through this protocol. And boy, you don't break protocol, you're going to cause somebody to get hurt. And finally, I made the decision in my heart to break protocol, because the family's so freaked out, because you're not allowed on their property unless they give you the nod. Now, their property is small, but it's theirs. And you cannot breach that. But in these circumstances, I've made the decision to take the penalty of whatever the village would do to me. And I stepped in without being invited. Boy, that's a negative. And I knew the consequences. And I went in there, and I'm standing in the blood now. It's all... And I knelt down, and I get a hold of this guy. And I look at his wife.
I said, I do not know you, and I do apologize, but the God in me is pushing me to ask you to let me pray for this guy. And she looked at me and said, cannot. Now that's the word I needed. You don't know it. It's a 3,000-year-old Aztec word. Cannot. That's yes. And so I lay my, You said something? Cannot. So I lay my hands on this guy. In Jesus' name. And right in front of us all, he stopped bleeding. And that's frightening. I got blood all over me now. I backed up. And I'm looking at him. I thought he bled out. You know that's possible? And so I'm thinking, whoa, dude, this guy's going to die now. But that ain't what happened. All of a sudden, he came to, and the people start wiping him down, getting the blood off of him. And he looked me right in the eyes, and he says, Tascamate. That's thank you very much. And I go, amo pleno. That means, what is that? What's amo pleno? That means, what does that mean? No problem. Yeah, right. That's close enough. And I'm covered in blood, and I told the brothers I need to go wash also. And so we went and found me some water. I cleaned up, you know, and got back ready for church, which means just washed it off. You know, it's still on my britches and all that and my shoes, but that's all right. We had church. And while we was having church, this family walks in, and it was the sick guy. And he comes there to tell me thank you for not letting him die. Sure. I mean, ain't that what we do? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what Jesus did? Acts chapter 10, is it? What did he do in verse 38? Went about doing good, and what else? Healing how many? How many? Who were what? Oppressed by who? Oh, so now at least you do know the verse, don't you? So they left. He just came, told me thank you, and they left. And in the morning they came back and they brought us some food. We ate it. Of course you ate it. It don't matter, buddy. You have to eat it. And so we ate it. And we're blessed and all that. And he says, I want to get born again. And I looked at him. How do you know the term born again? Do you know who this guy was? No, neither did I. The last 12 years of my life, he was the number one black magic warlock that was persecuting our work. He had killed some of our people and had driven others away from the gospel. He was the number one persecutor of the gospel. But now, because of circumstance, God had us at the right place at the right time, because He was wanting to bring salvation in place of judgment. He deserved judgment because he had murdered, just like Saul in the Bible. He had murdered and consented to and had papers legally to murder all these Christians. And he deserved hell, but instead God knocked him off his horse. And Ananias went over there and laid hands on him, and the scales fell off his eyes. And when the scales fell off his eyes, the salvation of God come on him and the Holy Ghost filled him. And he became Paul, the guy that wrote two-thirds of what you now call the New Testament. God's into restoring you. Healing is awesome. But inside of healing is wholeness. Inside of wholeness is complete restoration, which includes forgiveness of stupidity, you know, persecution. You see, it's not complicated to me. You see, I don't find it complicated. I find it easy. But see, I don't know all of this is going on. I'm just me, having a great time, enjoying myself with the people I love. Wow, walking around, eating their food, submitting to the gospel. And God's constantly throwing things in front of us, constantly, even though we don't know any of it. Do we? Do we? He does, don't he? Don't he? Here, let me mark this. I need to go somewhere because we're getting close to the time thing. Let's go over here. I want to show you this real quick before time runs out. But I'm not going to bring up the thing again, the time thing I'm talking about. Go over here to 1 Corinthians. Are y'all there yet? Is it okay if I'm serious, but I like to have fun?
Yes. You said throw health at
me. Excuse me?
You said throw health.
Health.
You threw it to us and we had to throw it back.
Oh, no. That...
no.
After a while.
It was your idea.
It is my idea. Here, now I want you to give it back to me. Okay. Where are we? Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians 13. There's something that I want you to look at here. In the verse, first, this is Amplified. If I can speak in tongues of men and angels, see, that's what everybody, wowie kazowie. But have not love, reasoning, intentional, spiritual, devotion such as inspired by God's love for and in us. I am only a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. We got to go past this stuff. Because. There's such a big God. And He wants us to have such a good time. But we get bogged down into these rules. And everybody doing the rules. They're important. I do rules. I am a soldier. I have to obey them and it's great. But there's a thing. Let me see if I can find this verse here. I know it's in here, but it's escaping me. Here we go. Verse 9. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes. See, this is what we're after, right? We want that depth, that maturity. We've got to have it. But to get it, you've got to get past the fragmentary. Everything's fragmented. Thank you. I do speak English sometimes. These words, they don't. I don't like them. I like Jesus. So, I'm serious. No kidding. We've got to get to the complete. I don't know anybody that's there. I know Jesus was there. But I've been in all the continents in the last few months. I've been with some of the largest names in your world. And every one of them are human. Frail, incomplete, fragmented. Wow, it's horrible. But we're going to step past that. And we're not going to be... It's not that I'm not involved. I'm involved. I love these people. That's not the point. The point is Jesus, who is complete, who is not fragmented. Wow. Oh, he's total, buddy. And I'm not talking about the gas station. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. He never makes a mistake. He is never inferior. He's never late. Buddy. Oh, this is making my legs weak. He's hammering me. I'm on the right trail on this. You hear me? We can do this, y'all.
I know how you feel like the lady that suffered so long and made so many mistakes and give everything that you got and it ain't working out. And I know that's how you feel. Hang on. The river's coming. Woo! And I'm right. Look at this electric on me. Woo! I'm electric. How did that funny guy with the funny vest? Electro Man. What was his name? I don't remember his name. Ernest. He died, you know. He died. But I'm not going to die, but he did. But I'm not. I'm going to live forever. That's legal. And I'm going to do it with a good attitude. That I'm going to find that completeness. I'm going to find, everybody says, man, I want to be like Elijah. Man, I want to be like Enoch. Is that so? Well, get past fragmented then. You can't live and hang out and fragmented and be like those guys. If you want God to take you off this planet, and by the way, you only know two of them that were, everybody else stayed and fragmented, including perfect Noah, including perfect Moses. Oopsa. Hello? But we're the inheritors of the power of the gospel through salvation. Yeah. And salvation is not just saved from hell. It's got a depth that's never even been scratched yet. But we will, won't we? Luis, is it 10:30? I see you looking at your watch. That means this guy never forgets. He's the guy that we asked, remind me, Lou. Okay. And buddy, he pesters you. You wouldn't believe it. If you don't want him to tell you, don't tell him to remind you. You didn't stand up. Or did she work? Oh, there she is. Woo! Come on. You're good. We're great. I'm fine.
Oh, 15-minute break. Listen for the bell. Be blessed.